celebrate the birth of Christ into our hearts and into our lives, and to share as family and friends together. After all these years here at Mountain View, you really are my brothers and sisters in the faith. And when I look out into the congregation on a night like this, there's no better place I want to be than to worship with you in this hour. And so on behalf of Pastor Sarah Merchant and myself and the music staff and the entire congregation, I welcome you for Christmas Eve this year.
Tough, enduring, and triumphant love. It is also the love of resurrection and of Easter.
The message is multidimensional. Behold how much God loves us, how we ought to love one another, and stay open to all humankind. Tonight we light these candles as we embrace the will and way of love. God's love come to earth for Emmanuel.
Let us pray. Father of all, we pause to marvel at your gift to us. May all anger, jealousy, and strife in us disappear. May the true spirit of Christmas conquer our hearts and lift Christ's love above all others.
I brought my tree down to the shore, the garland and the silver star, to find my peace and grieve no more, to heal this place inside my heart, on every
Son, your Son who came to earth to live among us,
teaching us and leading us in your ways. We are here tonight to celebrate his sacred birth. So in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And now we will have our first reading from Isaiah. It's Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel in the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Thank you.
reading now is from Isaiah 42, 1 through 9. Here is my servant who I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter nor be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be the covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare, before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Would you rise as we affirm our Christmas faith together? I believe in Christmas. I believe that God sends light into the dark corners of our lives, and then in the lonely and cold moments, God comes with a message of hope. I am a shepherd, startled to hear the good news of the angels, but eager to go and see for myself. I am Mary, aware that somehow God is using me to accomplish things too big to imagine. I am calls me to do, but following as faithfully as I can. I am the innkeeper, busy and frazzled, but making room somehow for God to be born. I am the wise man, on a journey of discovery, bearing my gift to be given to glorify God. Yes, I am the angel, proclaiming through my own life the glorious good deeds that God has come into the world, and we shall never be the same. I believe in Christmas, and with my life, I will proclaim that Christ is born, that Christmas is here, and that God is with us.
words from the book of Titus, Titus 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age, to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly. While we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds.
Thank you.
And now we will have our first scripture from Luke, Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her.
To you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.
Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in the manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Christmas Eve is a hard sermon to give. As you walk through all of the challenges that people face in modern living, and we struggle with our own sense of faithfulness in the midst of all the difficulties that we know in our daily life, we can't help but struggle through to find the crystalline message that means so much to people who gather on a wonderful night like this. Long about Thursday afternoon, when I had cracked the code on what I was going to say, in a modern version of the dog ate my homework, my computer decided to eat my sermon. So, in great struggle, I decided to try again. I believe that a night such as this is filled with beauty and joy beyond measure. But sometimes even I have difficulty seeing it. I imagine that you do too. A night such as this, bathed in divine light and suffused with holy possibility, should open up to us possibilities that we didn't think were possible. And yet so much of life can get in the way of our really experiencing joy, of our really embracing God's possibilities in our life, in our really being able to see beyond our cynical selves into the eyes of God and greet God in that child's face we call Jesus. Gathered earnestly in worship, kneeling together at the manger, it should be possible at last for us to find a way to renew our hope and open ourselves to God's gifts. That's what makes tonight a special night. We have availed ourselves of the opportunity of discovering God's light, of welcoming God's joy. Despite whatever doubts we have, despite whatever brokenness we've experienced, despite whatever families we were raised in, despite whatever struggles we have, tonight is an invitation from God through Jesus in this worshiping space for us to let a little of God's joy creep in to our ordinary lives. Now, it's no secret that children seem to realize this from top to bottom. Just look in their faces. Our grandson a few weeks ago came to visit, and in my study I had put some of his presents. He wasn't supposed to see them, but at his eye level and at his attention span, he says to his father, "Grandpa, Dad, I see kids' presents. I see kids' toys." Sharp little eyes. "Yeah, but look at there on the wall. See that? See, you distract him and you change the subject real fast and maybe he won't notice. Oh my gosh, what a silly thing. I thought I had him hidden. Ruined Christmas." Right? The kids realize how special tonight is. Nature seems to take a breath in our night's crisp air with something miraculous is impacted. Last night we drove around the neighborhood after we'd seen a movie and the snow was falling and the lights were slow beautiful, magical. Something miraculous happens at this time of year. While bowing in reverence, while listening in faith, we hear the joy of Christmas. We hear the invitation from God and from the universe to step into the light, to step into God's joy at the birth of Jesus our Savior. God's love is tonight revealed in the babe of Bethlehem. That's what makes tonight a special night. Now, I believe the gospel writers are trying to tell this even as the birth narrative unfolds. Our gift this Christmas is God's love, and we have the opportunity to let it transform us from the inside out. Here's the great difference between God's gift and most other gifts we may receive in this night. God's love in Jesus comes absolutely without strings attached. But that's a unique quality of God's love, and it's there for a reason. For whereas most gifts are given with unspoken expectations or social requirements or relational fine print, God's love is offered, no strings attached. And this is revealed in a threatless infant of humble birth on a backwater town in a powerless way so that we might be able to say yes to God's love for our life. We are full of expectancy at this time of year for what God would do with us and would do with this night. And at the same time, we are freed from expectations laid on us from the outside. This is a change that happens from the inside out. Saying yes to this invitation to God's joy and love is our decision, and it works from the inside out. One can scarcely imagine a less remarkable or more amicable story than Jesus. In circumstances less noteworthy or more approachable than the Lord. For God's gift of love in this night is simply too modest and yet too grand to ever adequately repay. And so as the old hymn says, O come, let us adore him, may be our best response. And as a result, Christmas is a time of hope and of hearts and of holy mystery gathered together as we are at the creche on a night bathed in divine light. Suffused with holy possibility and absolutely, utterly beyond our control. What I'm saying is that God invites us to receive joy if we can get out of the way of God, if we can suspend our disbelief just long enough to soak in God's light. Our problem is that although we've often run short on hope, we may not know how to restore it. And though we often make the brave attempt, we can despair of living uprightly before God. And though we often want to receive God's free gift of love, we can find it almost impossible to allow holy mystery to unfold in our life. I think, how afraid and hollowed out must one be to say no to God's love? And yet we do. How balled up and unfulfilled must we be to turn down God's divine possibilities? Yet we do. And how little one must think of the creator of the universe to turn away from the gift of love that's offered here tonight. And yet, sadly, some will. Now, before we rush ahead and condemn others for not being in the Christmas spirit, we must take responsibility for our own crumbling Christmas cynicism, that gloomy shade that sometimes overshadows God's holy light. I will confess to you that I have a hard time with Christmas. And even if I hadn't lost the sermon on Thursday afternoon, and pounded away at it Thursday night and Friday until it gave itself up in some form or fashion, I'm the grumpy Gus sitting in the corner, gloating, bleeding at another showing of Christmas at the Cranks, and groaning that grumpy Gus gathered there beside the evergreen, waiting for the time to pass so that I can take a nap on Christmas Day. What is wrong with me? You and I tonight have the opportunity right here, right now, to change our course, to lean into the Christmas narrative and live into this holy mystery. And it can be a real challenge for us in the West. We resist overblown expectations. We stand in the way of nonsensical consumerism and the rush to financial ruin in this high-impact season, all of which could destroy any and all joy at Christmas. But as long as human beings can acknowledge their need for light, there's a chance we can meet God's embrace on this holy night. Think about this. Almost every one of our Christmas traditions have absolutely nothing to do with the story of Jesus. Christmas tree doesn't have to do with Jesus. Mistletoe doesn't have to do with Jesus. Right? The exchange of presents? Well, you can do the wise men, but that's next week. Anyway. Trying to figure out how it is that we can lift up the invitation to God's light and God's joy, that's our challenge tonight. For I think Christmas Eve is a celebration of hope and a resource beyond our understanding, and that's plenty for us to give thanks for tonight. It is a moment of holy mystery that is aimed at inviting us to play in the delight of God's grace. It might be a lot of things, exchanging presents, which people will or won't accept. It might be a lot of things, buying an expensive gift and then opening the Discover Bill in January to great dismay. It might be a lot of things, but what it could be is accepting an invitation from God to let God's love in. God's light through. You talk about it in the form of a little baby Jesus. What's more harmless than a baby? Inviting us to play in this delight, this grace, this joy, breaks us out of our well-constructed holiday barricades and reminds us that we're not alone after all. Tonight is an occasion to allow God to suspend our disbelief, to let the light of joy creep back into our souls. And with that, what could God accomplish in your life and in mine? In the 15th verse of the Christmas Gospel we read earlier tonight, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, for my money, that's where all the trouble starts in the Christmas narrative. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the bottom drops out of the Christmas story. Sure, there were a few unkempt shepherds left glorifying and praising God, and a perplexed young couple left stunned standing by the manger, but where does that leave us? Up until that time, the narrative was all stained glass wonder and divine promise and shining light and dazzling cherubim and earthly peace and angel song. But after that, it's all bumbling shepherds and searching wise men and doubting disciples and dumbfounded sheep. What in the wide, wide world of sports are they to make of this miracle which happened to them? What are we to do with this mystery which was birthed so long ago? How can you and I come to appreciate the significance of this heavenly gift, which, as we read in Luke's Gospel, was promptly wrapped by his parents in birthday rags and put in the feeding trough for safekeeping? If they don't even know what to do with them, how are we supposed to figure it out? But they do. A little bit later, and I think this is our answer. In this very passage, the author notes almost as an afterthought, Mary pondered all these things in her heart. Now, I admit, against the backdrop of angel choruses and bleating sheep, you might miss it. It's a whisper in the Christmas story, a subtle postscript to the great birth narrative. And yet, Mary pondered all these things in her heart. It's a significance owing nothing less than the tenacity of a mother's heart and the power of divine promise. It is power revealed even in its weakness. all around the world and across the ages, all the way to you and I, born this day in the city of David is the Savior who is Christ the Lord. That is it. That is it. After the angels dropped the big news on Mary and Joe and left them to find their own way through and to their own devices, the once fearful shepherds traipsed over to Bethlehem to see if what they had been told was true. Now, I imagine that their disbelief was pretty much overwhelmed at that moment by what they had just witnessed. Angel voices, heavenly choirs, and the like. But like so many of us on Christmas Eve, maybe they came out to see if someone's playing a trick on them. They set a guard over their sheep and ran for the nearest manger. Did they get the first manger that they found? Was that the right one? Or did they have to go to several mangers before they figured it out? And ask, was a child born here or not? There wasn't a star shining up in the sky like some Christmas cards we see. That actually is a different story entirely. It happens in the Gospel of Mark, where wise men arrive on advice from old King Herod. Now, my guess is that the shepherds, no stranger to animal stalls, went place to place in overcrowded Bethlehem asking human occupants if there was a baby born that night. You couldn't miss it. You surely would know. Was there a baby child born in this stable? And they were so excited, warm and breathless, the words must have come out tumbling like this. The angel, good news, joy, baby, wrapped, manger, good news. Something like that. Who could be afraid of a little baby? A tiny little baby is completely dependent upon his parents and family. It's powerless to do anything at all without help. And this is the witness of how Almighty God chose to become dependent on human beings for the good news to grow and give and live among us. And what is that good news tonight? It is that with our Emmanuel, we're not alone in this tumultuous world. It is that in accepting our vulnerability, we're made strong again through Christ. It is that God chose to become powerless as a little child, depending upon us to share God's message with the world. That's Jesus' story. That's the lost wise man's story. That's the bumbling, breathless shepherd's story. And that is our story, too. Once we allow God's Spirit to take up residence in our hearts this Christmas Eve, that's where the story begins. Now, it's wonderful to sing carols and light candles and look at the Christmas tree and enjoy the choirs and the music. It's wonderful to share gifts and good food and family. There's absolutely nothing wrong with these things at all. But it's when we kneel in our hearts and accept the love of God in these moments that the real Christmas begins. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, that's where all the trouble started. When the shepherds were left on their own devices, that's when the bottom drops out of the story. That's where our part of the story picks up. That's where our part of the story begins. So I'm saying our choice tonight is whether we will confirm the decision to live differently because of this gift of God, or whether we'll go home tonight completely unchanged. That's the decision we have to make on Christmas Eve. This miracle, which happened so long ago, is accompanied by a promise as fresh as the night is cold. The promise of God with us. And how we can understand the significance of this heavenly gift against our contemporary worries and strains is how we make meaning out of our lives. Tonight we accept the mystery of the incarnation of God as a sign of our own belonging to God's heart. For without God's presence, we haven't got a prayer. Without the shepherds racing, praising, and glorifying God, we haven't got the good news. Without Joseph staying by her side and Mary pondering these things in her heart, we might have missed the Messiah. And without our willingness to bow at the creche tonight and suspend our disbelief even for a little while, we may be refusing the gift which is ours through Jesus Christ on Christmas Eve. This is a special night, bathed in divine light, suffused with holy possibility. And just as it was in the beginning with Joseph and Mary and doubting disciples, bumbling shepherds and misdirected wise men, we can choose to accept God's joy. We can let it creep in to the empty places inside. We can decide to set our course and resolve to turn toward God and the gift that God offers all creation this night, even Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem. For the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ Jesus." Suspending our disbelief is never easy, but neither is closing ourselves off from the hope we so desperately yearn for in Christ Jesus. Please pray with me. Holy God, we don't understand all the things you show us, but we do yearn for peace. We do give thanks for love and the support we have from our loved ones. Help us to share with the stranger, with the lonely, with the broken among us. Small tokens of love and understanding. Forgive us our doubt and cynicism. Remove the obstacles we have to our faith. And let us even a little bit feel Christmas joy tonight. It is through Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. come to that time to light our Christmas candles at the singing of Silent Night, it's very important that you take the unlit candle and turn it to the lit candle. Otherwise, you get wax all over yourself as we sing together Silent Night. You do.
Thank you.
shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Spirit, grace and peace. Amen.
Amen.